praise God. May God continue to just give both Maria and the teams that go great grace and strength and wisdom. Be able to do a lot of good. I've had that same conversation with Audrey, actually. She has said to me, or I guess I've said to her, I don't have any construction experience. And she said, I'll still find jobs for you to do. Would you join me in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 18? We were there last week. We're going to be there again this week. A couple of announcements before we dive into God's Word together. Missions update, the bake sale that took place last week, not only did a lot of food go, but $1,571.25 came in from the bake sales towards missions. So praise the Lord. That's a lot of lives that can be touched through your generosity and through your partnership. And the last thing in regards to finances is we don't ever want to give Caesar more than Caesar needs. And so tax receipts are available after the service, and Ruth Dove is passing those contribution reports to those who have requested one. Thank you so much for your faithful giving and support of Cornerstone and the ministry here. Lastly, the announcement, we don't have a slide for it. Ed and Carolyn Kroll aren't with us this morning. It's their anniversary tomorrow, and they're away for the weekend. They'll also be away next weekend, and that is because I will be with them. Audrey and I are taking them to Cranbrook next weekend. When Ed and Carolyn came back from being at Sunshine Hills Foursquare Church for a number of years, Carolyn was on staff there. When they came back to Airdrie to be with us, it was never their intention to potentially stay for a long time. They were willing to, but the reason why they came was to take the next step of training in regards to stepping out in ministry and eventually pastoring, giving oversight to a church. And so whether it was going to be church planting, we didn't know. But we're now at the stage where I'm taking Ed and Carolyn to Cranbrook. I serve as the unit supervisor, the overseer of the churches in Alberta and beyond. But Cranbrook's pastor Gordon Henry has resigned. He's about to retire. We've been looking for pastors for that congregation, and a very real possibility is Ed and Carolyn. And so next Sunday, they've already met with the senior pastor and met with the council chairman, and have been meeting with me extensively, and talked to our president, Steve Faulkner. We're all in agreement that they're a really good fit for Cranbrook at this next season. And so next Sunday, I'm going to be taking them to introduce them to the church as potential pastors. On Saturday night, we'll be with the church council introducing them and just seeing if in fact the Lord would say yes, witness of the Holy Spirit for Ed and Carolyn to pastor our Cranbrook Foursquare Church. So that's very exciting in their life. If that happens, that will be very sad for us, but glad for the kingdom. And if you can be praying for them and praying for me and praying for the church council and leadership as we walk through these next doors. It's amazing. We'll jump into to the message. It's amazing that the Lord's Prayer contains a phrase. We're going to talk about forgiveness this morning. It's amazing that the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I read a book this week that the author said that prayer has made liars of us all. And I thought, well, that's pretty strong. But his point was, do we really want this? Is this what we pray? Father, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass or against us, who are in our debt. And I had to stop and think about it. You know, I probably don't hope for that. God, forgive me as I how I forgive others. God, let that be how you forgive me. God, do a better job of forgiving me than I do of forgiving others. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus taught us to pray, Father, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us or trespass against us, who are in our debt, that we would forgive. In fact, Luke's gospel will clearly put it in past tense, as I have already forgiven. Not that I'm waiting to forgive, but God, forgive me. Look, I have already forgiven those who have trespassed or have debts against me. The topic of forgiveness very closely with our forgiving one another, very closely connected to our relationship with the Lord. Matthew 18, Peter comes to Jesus. He says, Lord, how often shall I forgive my, shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Remember, we talked about this last week, and Jesus said to him, I don't say it to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And then he tells this story, therefore the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus unfolds these words. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants, and when he had begun to settle accounts, one who was brought to him owed him 10,000 talents. We can't begin to comprehend the calculation on how much that is. Estimates have talked about billions. But then he said to the master, he's unable to pay. His master commanded him that he be sold, his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. He could not pay this debt. And the servant therefore fell down before him, said, Master, have patience with me. I will pay, which is really an untrue statement. He doesn't have the ability to pay, and he's not going to have the ability to pay. I will pay you all. And the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants. I guess he was reminded of who owes what. Hey, somebody owes me something. Who owed him a 100 denarii, or 100 days' wages. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet. Same scenario, and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Which three months' salary is probably able to be repaid with some effort and intentionality. It takes some time, but I'll pay you all. And he would not. But he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. His fellow servants saw what had been done. They witnessed this, and they were very grieved. Unforgiveness doesn't just affect us, it affects others. They were very grieved at what took place and came and told their master all that had been done. And the master, after he had called him, he said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, the one just like you, as I had pity on you? His master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due. So my heavenly Father will do to each of you if each of you from his heart does not forgive him their trespasses. It's this strong, strong words that Jesus uses in this story talking about forgiveness and our need to be like our Father in being people who forgive. And this morning, would you allow God to work in your heart, in this topic of forgiveness, to forgive others? Maria moments ago talked about this home that had been stripped down to the bare studs, she said. And do you remember the phrase? She said there was so much insulation that had to be removed. And when she said that, I got a picture of what God wants to do in our hearts this morning, is that God is here to help us this morning. He's come to help. But there may take some removing of drywall, removing of maybe some pictures that just look so nice, that everything looks so nice, but behind there, there's the mold of bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, resentment, whatever it is, it needs to be stripped down. And there may be some things in our lives that have insulated us from even broaching the subject of unforgiveness, that we put things around us, that we're not going to deal with this. And the Holy Spirit wants to not only take off the drywall, but remove the insulation this morning, that God, who is here to help, he's not just here to expose, he's here to help. He's not just here to expose. He's here to help. Take away those things that would insulate us from dealing with unforgiveness. And by the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit, set us free. Yeah. The master said, I forgave you because you begged me. You should have had compassion on your fellow servant. I did this for you, but I did this not only for you, I did this to model for you. Jesus would say, as I have loved you, you get to love one another. That's modeling. I forgave you, you were to pass it on to your fellow servants who are just like you. And if you don't, you're going to live in torture. Because living in unforgiveness is torture. When he requested forgiveness, Master, forgive me, he was free. But when he refused to walk in forgiveness, he became a prisoner. He was in debt because of what he owed. but he became a prisoner because he would not forgive. God can do something about your debt. But we need to do something about our unforgiveness. He can do something. He can forgive us our debt. He can forgive us our sin. Cleanse us. Take our sin as far as the east is from the west. We confess our sin before him. He can do that. But it's up to us to forgive others who trespass against us. And so we started a place of forgiveness, right standing with God. We did that last week. We came together and God forgive us, and we walked through the Romans road. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, the Lord Jesus will be saved. That Jesus is the free gift of salvation that he gives us. And there's something connected to being forgiveness, this awareness of our debt. I am aware of the debt that I owed, but I don't live with this weight and this guilt and this shame of it. Instead, I live with gratitude. God, thank you. Thank you that you have saved me. There was this story that unfolds in Luke 7 about a woman who comes and anoints Jesus with oil, and those around say, if Jesus knew what manner of woman this was that touched him, he wouldn't let her near him. And Jesus will talk about, she's been forgiven much, so she loves much. And that's the place that hopefully I'm talking to you from, or talking with you from, is a place of love. We are so grateful that Jesus has forgiven us. And so we remember our debt, but not with shame and guilt and condemnation. We remember it was paid for. It was paid for long ago. Jesus forgives us. Jesus has forgiven us. But our closeness and fellowship with God the Father, our communion with God, is related directly to our relationship with people. And we jeopardize our intimacy with God. Listen, we jeopardize our intimacy with God when we allow unforgiveness in our lives, when we don't forgive others. It shows up in places like this where God said, love the Father. Jesus said, love the Father with everything that's within you, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And so closely connected to that is loving your neighbor. The second is like it, is love your neighbor as yourself. John will tell us, if you say that you love God, but you can't stand your brother, that's incongruent. That doesn't fit. That doesn't work. In fact, it says we're living a lie. And in another place, Jesus will talk about moments of worship. That when you've come to worship God, if you've got something at odds with your brother or sister, go get that right first. and then come with a clean heart before God. Unforgiveness gets in the way of our closeness with God. Forgiveness is not a matter of deserving it. And so when I talk to us about forgiving someone, we are not declaring that they deserve to be forgiven. What we are declaring is we don't deserve to withhold forgiveness. The cross was for us who didn't deserve it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not what any of us deserve. And so we pass on not what anyone deserves. You have been forgiven much, so passing that on doesn't mean they deserve to be forgiven. It just means we don't deserve to judge. That we don't sit in that place. There are many places in Scripture where it tells us to be like God. Be holy, for I am holy. Peter tells us to be like God because God is holy, and we want to be like that. It tells us to be merciful, like your Father in heaven is merciful. But it never says this, be vengeful, because God is vengeful. It does say, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and we are not to be vengeful. Be holy, be merciful, but leave the judging to God. Because there is a day when he will set all things right. Because he is the righteous judge, and we do our best to determine between right and wrong based on a correct interpretation of Scripture, but we are never to pass sentence, and especially on someone's hearts. Judge not. We're about to be loving God and loving people. And one of the ways that we can walk in love and forgiveness is recorded in 1 Corinthians 13. It's the last part of verse 5 that says, love keeps no record No record of wrongs. Other versions, this is NIV, New King James, other places will say thinks no evil. Or it means thinks upon no evil. You're not going to dwell on this. NIV and other versions say this, it keeps no record of wrongs. We're not going to keep a list. Do you know who keeps a record of wrongs? It's not Jesus. Romans tells us that blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. He's not keeping a list, but there is someone who does keep a list. It's recorded in Revelation 12:10. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, the accuser who accuses them before God day and night has been hurled down. Satan is the accuser of the brothers and sisters. He stands before God to accuse God's people. He says things like, you know, God, I need to talk to you about that Barry Marston and the things that he's done. And you'd better stay seated because it's a long list. And that's only for today. Let me tell you. He starts to say, I want to tell you what he's done. Number one, and Jesus stands up.
Amen.
As our advocate.
Yes.
He says, hold it. Hold it. Father, I have forgiven Barry. I have paid the penalty for that sin. Strike that from the record.
Hallelujah.
And it's gone. And so old Satan says, well, number two. Jesus said, hold it, Father. I've paid the penalty for that sin too. Barry's forgiven. Strike it from the record. And it doesn't matter how long the list of accusation is. For me or for you, Jesus stands up and says, hold it.
Hallelujah.
I paid the penalty.
Hallelujah.
That sin has been forgiven. It's washed whiter than snow. There is no list. Love keeps no record of wrong. And we stand righteous before God. It's not on our record anymore. Let us not be like Satan, who keeps a list. A list of what people have done wrong to us. Sometimes husbands and wives, other relationships, brothers and sisters or moms and dads say things like, you always, or you never, or remember when you said, or remember when you did. But it's amazing when we forgive each other and we don't keep a list and the list is gone. I remember distinctly choosing to forget that. I remember choosing to not remember that. The closeness and the strength that comes into our relationship. Audrey and I, we are not perfect.
What?
Yeah, I knew that was going to be a moment. It's astounding, but it's true. She is closer than I, but neither of us are perfect. But listen, This is what I think about perfection, about us. We're not perfect, but we're perfect for each other. Oh, yeah, that's the... First we had the oh, and now we have the oh. But our marriage is not strong because of the absence of conflict. Our absence is strong because of the presence of forgiveness. Our absence... Our marriage is not strong because of the absence of conflict. It's strong because I give in a lot. No, it's strong because of the presence of forgiveness. I can't tell you how many times, even a day, we say, I love you. Those three little words, I love you. But almost equally, it would seem, we say five other little words. Will you please forgive me? Will you please forgive me? And we have cultivated in our home an attitude, a culture of forgiveness. It's not the absence of conflict. It's the I will not keep a record of wrongs. And that's where peace comes in. Jesus said a very interesting statement right after the resurrection. Do you remember he this moment where he breathes on the disciples and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. It's found in John's Gospel, John chapter 20. And then after the resurrection, he's there. He breathes on the disciples. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. And do you know what else? Then he said, so Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit that will come later in Acts chapter 2. This is the moment of new birth, new life. It's mirroring Adam in the Garden of Eden when God breathed the breath of life into man and became a living being. Spiritual life is imparted. At this moment, we see the resurrected Christ breathing and saying, receive, present tense, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit filled their lives. There is a subsequent event that we discover in Acts about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. But at this moment, they are spiritually alive. Receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them. Now watch. And he says this, if you forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they will be retained. It's this moment, spiritually alive. Receive the Holy Spirit. And immediately he talks about forgiving people. Forgiving one another. Jesus was not talking about salvation. He wasn't saying to the disciples, now, you just go and forgive people. Or you just go and don't forgive people, and their salvation is based on your ability to forgive them or not. Forgiveness is only found in the shed blood of Jesus by faith alone, by grace alone. It's what he did. But he says this to the disciples because he's now saying, receive the Holy Spirit, and by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are going to be able to forgive. Because of the resurrected Lord, sin has been paid for, paid in full, every offense that can be covered by the blood of Jesus. And he says, you are now going to have a choice in front of you. If you forgive the sins of others, there won't be a trace of it. And your relationship, if you don't, the impact of the sin will remain. The message, I don't often quote the paraphrase, the message, but it says this. I love how it phrases this. If you forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven. And Peterson writes, and if you don't, what are you going to do with them? Forgive people. And if you don't, how's that working for you? Yeah. Right? What are you going to do with that unforgiveness then? He says this to me, Barry, by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you are going to have the ability to forgive Audrey for every intentional and unintentional hurt that she causes you. Okay. Or you are going to have the power of letting her sin have an unresolved place in your marriage. What are you going to do? He says, Audrey, you are going to be able to bring up every failure, every fault, every shortcoming Barry has, and remind them of them often. Or, by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you are going to have the ability to release both of you out of the prison that keeping those offenses would build. What are you going to do? Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, walk in forgiveness. Freely we've received, freely we give. Jesus modeled it for us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It sure looked like they knew what they were doing when they were driving the spikes into his hand, when they were whipping his back, when he was on the cross and they were yelling, hurling insults. You saved others, save yourself. It sure looked like they knew what they were doing, but they had no idea that they were crucifying the Prince of Life. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. For some this morning, there might be some hurts in your life that in the scheme of things might seem small, but have become big. Points of hurt and anger, or disappointment or bitterness. And that it's time to forgive. And God is going to give you the freedom this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit to release those things. I love Adiola sharing with us at the crossover service. I mean, that is a memory that has just been burned in my heart. The countdown clock was on, and Adiola would get up time and time again and say, whatever is in your life of hurt and pain and anger and bitterness, whatever you're dealing with, don't carry it over into 2018. Deal with it now. I thought this morning, let's not carry anything further over. The things that we can deal with forgiveness, let's deal with it now. Let's not walk out of this place the same way we came. Because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But for some here this morning, there may be deep things, difficult things, horrific things that you have faced and that people don't know about. And I don't need to know about them because I know Jesus already knows about them and is able to touch your life. I know this, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you must have an encounter with God in order to be able to forgive. God has to speak to you. You must get a hold of him like Jacob wrestled with the angel and said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I'm not letting you go until you give me the grace to forgive what happened in my life. The deepest sorrows and the deepest betrayals that I have ever experienced in my life, I needed one thing more than anything. I needed a word from God. I needed to hear his voice. I didn't need the mountain to shake. I didn't need the earth to tremble. I didn't need the fire to fall. I needed a word from God. I needed him to speak. And I can take you to the three places. One on the shores of the upper lake of Kananaskis, where God touched me. The steps on outside in the valley of Kingsfold Retreat Center out Wypress Way. The sidewalk in front of St. Francis Anglican Church. I can take you to those places and those moments where I was carrying such hurt and such betrayal and such sorrow and such bitterness, such woundedness, and it all changed when God touched me and when God spoke by the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit. And I know what he did for me, he can do for each one of us. Because he is no respecter of persons. He's your Father, and he loves you. That prayer that we started, forgive our debts as we forgive those who have debts against us or trespasses. Jesus starts out by saying, pray this way, our Father. He didn't say, pray to my Father. He said, our Father. He is our Father who loves us. For us to be able to walk in a path of forgiveness, you've got to get with God to bring the sorrow, the hurt, the anger, whatever it is before him. Not as an accuser and not as a judge, but as someone who needs to be healed of the pain and set free to forgive. You must turn to God, and you need a touch. We need a touch of the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus, the resurrected Christ, said to the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them. He wants to breathe on you today. Receive the Holy Spirit at every point of betrayal, every point of bitterness, every point of unforgiveness, every point of pain. Receive the Holy Spirit. For some of us, the thought of forgiving is overwhelming. How can you forgive? Start here. God, would you bring me to a place of being willing to forgive? And then strength and grace to forgive. Love your enemies and those who spitefully use and hurt you. Not everyone who has hurt us is an enemy. So many weren't even trying to hurt us. But they said something, they did something, they crossed the line and we were hurt. They may not even remember. And going to them to talk about it may not even help, because I had no idea that simply go to Jesus and get it settled. There are some people who will even never admit that they hurt us. Don't let their repentance be conditional. Don't let that be the condition on you forgiving. For us to be able to say, I'm not going to be held in this prison. Regardless of what they do or don't do, I'm going to get this settled with God. Let me close with this. My focus on forgiving this morning is not about what happens to other people when you forgive. Because there have been lots of marvelous messages about the transformation that takes place when we forgive others and it impacts them. And there's a wonderful truth in those moments. But I'm concerned about what happens to you. Forgiveness is a no choice. It's a choice, but really we have no choice. We must forgive because the other option is unforgiveness. And that leads to anger and bitterness and vengeance, and it twists us up on the inside. And God wants you untwisted this morning. He wants to unravel the knots so you can move forward with him. Don't believe the lie that that this is that what you're facing, and it's not at all to make light of anything, but it doesn't give way to a special circumstance to say, well, God, normally we would forgive, but in this place, may we be a people who allow His Holy Spirit for us to pass on forgiveness to each other. Choose to forgive. You might say, Barry, you don't know what they did. You don't know what they've done. And I don't need to. But dear ones, the blood of Jesus is still enough. It's enough to bring you to a place of wholeness. And it's enough to forgive them. To give you the grace to forgive. The blood of Jesus is still enough. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Jesus, we come to you as people who recognize we need to be forgiven, that we are the ones who were undeserving, that we need you. Thank you for the price that you paid. Thank you for the blood that you shed. Jesus, thank you for the gift of life that you have offered to us. And church, would you just take a moment and ask God to forgive you afresh and anew? Just ask Him to forgive you. It might be for something specific. It might be for a lifetime of choices. Holy Spirit, would you illuminate any places where we have not yet received forgiveness? Jesus, we're sorry. We turn, we repent to walk closely with you. Thank you for forgiving us. Now, God, I pray by your Holy Spirit, Jesus, that you would do exactly what you did to those disciples, that you would breathe on us right now. By the power of your Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Every place where we are wounded, where we are hurt, where there has been anger and unresolved conflict, where there's bitterness, where there's sorrow, God, where it seems like it's not just a scar, where it's still bleeding. Oh God, we pray that at this moment, by the power of your Holy Spirit, breathe, oh God. And give us the grace to forgive. God, we choose to walk in a path of forgiveness, not by our own strength or our own ability. We can't do it. We need you, oh God, the author and the finisher of our faith, but also the author and the finisher of our forgiveness.
Amen.
Jesus, we choose. We choose first to be willing.
Yes.
That we would not be someone who is closed off to the leading of your Holy Spirit. God, that we are willing to forgive. And God, for those things that we can forgive right now, we do. I forgive. I choose to forgive. Church, would you go ahead and take that step? It might be, I mean, it's just so personal between you and God, just to say, this person who's wounded me, who's hurt me, maybe it's from long ago or maybe it's from this morning, I forgive. I forgive. I choose to forgive. Release them from punishment. And for those this morning who the sorrow is too big, who the mountain is too high, who it's just, it hurts so bad so much that it's too big of a step. God, I pray for each person. God, I pray for us that you would help us meet with you. Find a place. The upper lake, outside of the church, at Kingsville, wherever, God, speak to us. Get a hold of us. That you would touch our hearts and you'd give us the ability to forgive by both healing us and in forgiving that we would find healing.
Hallelujah.
God, thank you for your work by your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Here now in our lives. There is no one like you. Heaven on earth or under the earth, there is no one like you. I just want to respond in a moment in a time of worship, and you're welcome to stay seated or welcome to stand, whatever the posture of your body would be, that we would be those who draw near and are able to declare and worship that there's none like him.